Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Hey, we're back. Basketball here. Mountain West Connection Hoops Talk. We'll make you guys wiggle and kind of guess and check our feed when stuff comes out. But we're talking hoops. Our website, mwcconnection.com. Jeremy Moss here. And then we got, of course, our basketball. What do you want to be called? What title do you want, Eli? Basketball dude? I don't know.
Basketball dude. What was the one that you used last time?
I don't know. It was like 2 weeks ago since we didn't record.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
The smart one of the two? Is that good?
Hey, or maybe the bracketologist or something. I got Lenardi last year.
There you go. All right. So we'll stick with, you'll have your bracket up pretty soon because you're the smart guy. Like, yeah. We could maybe go with that where we don't need to release a bracket every 6 days. So we'll talk about some bracket stuff, your impressions. There's a few that came out that have waited until now from preseason. Our website, again, mwcconnection.com. Me and Matt discussed in the football show, we want to get 3,000 likes on Facebook. We're about 100 short of that. So help us out. Go like our Facebook page. Go subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher. Take our RSS feed, drop it in Pocket Cast, whatever. But listen to our show. We, again, promise. Well, sort of promise. We'll do better at scheduling these more consistently now that league play is going on. And should the league symbol be the whatever emoji?
Yeah, that'd be good. Or just the MJ crying face at times. You just never know.
Or the laughing crying one, that one.
Yeah, that one too.
So we'll go back to yesterday's, or not yesterday, we meant to record this yesterday, but on Wednesday, there was a bunch of games going on. So a couple of ones like CSU beat San Jose, whatever, they won. However, the Rams are currently playing three players who will not be with the team in about a week and a half because... And our guy, Terrence Dickens, he does some CSU stuff for us from time to time. Not really game stuff, but other big picture things. And the three players that are out, it's due to academics. And this part I didn't know. I think I'd have a 2, because I did NCAA athletics. I'd have a 2-0. Apparently, you can be a 1-9 and be eligible. Do you know how hard it is to get a 1-9 or not get a 1-9?
Yeah, I mean, you have to almost be trying to or just not show up to class. Even Ben Simmons made all his grades last year and is with LSU, and he didn't even show up to class either.
Well, what he did was second semester, don't need to show up, because that's true.
You can show, okay, okay, yeah. Yeah,
just all because I know Charles Barkley mentioned this all the time. It's a valid point. If you're that good, it's a one-semester sport. You just be eligible through Christmas, and then you literally do not have to show up to class. So unless the coaches find out and want to suspend you on their own merit, but you will not be academically ineligible if you – do not go to any classes second semester. Yet you will be the following, but if you're gone, you're gone. Or if you have maybe a quarter system could be a tad different, whatever it is. But whatever it is, if you're leaving, be eligible the semester prior, and you are good to go the next semester. So 2-0, and part of it, which he pointed out, these are all JUCO guys as well, which is a difference because you don't have the support in junior college. You can kind of, hey, we can just kind of blast through this and people let us go. But... And it, like, you're in school at the moment, right? Do you have mandatory study hall by whatever department you're in?
Do you mean just like participation in classes or just, you know,
like
showing
after,
up?
Like say end of the day because you're busy or whatever for your classes. Do you have a time where, hey, you have to be here to get scholarship X for from 3 to 5 p.m. every day or 3 days a week or something?
No, there's no mandatory study hall. It's fairly standard, and some of the classes even don't really count participation, I guess, or showing up to class. But like obviously, if you don't show up, you're probably not going to be successful. But there's no mandatory study hall or anything like that.
But these guys have that, so I don't understand. Like, if you're in a sport, like I didn't have that, but we had people who could help us. But if you're in a big sport where you're missing a lot of time, football, basketball, especially scholarship, you have a certain time, whether before practice, evening, where advisors are there to work, whatever their math, science, whatever they're on, working on, they're there to help you, and you have to show up. That's part of your deal, to be on scholarship for certain sports. You have to show up, but these guys have that, and it's like, it's just, I don't understand why they're not just like, it's. I don't want to talk down about them, but you're not trying if you have all this extra help that most people don't have, and you still can't make a C minus or whatever 1.9 is.
Yeah, it's definitely an effort thing because the athletes, as we know, their classes are obviously structured different, and a lot of them have strictly online classes or classes where they have with advisors help. So there's definitely no shortage because they don't want things like this to happen to Colorado State, where they have these athletes that are producing money for the school and now they're not eligible, which is a financial situation for the school, because if they win less games, they're going to produce less money. So it has to be an effort thing. I mean, there's no way why you shouldn't be able to get a 2-0 with the resources you have, but that's the scenario that Eustace has to deal with, and that's that.
They're down to 7 scholarship players. Oh, we didn't mention the players. I should have that in front of me. Who are the 3 players? Do you have that in front of you? I thought
yeah,
I did.
So Shea Bob's one of them. He's averaging 8.5 points per game this year. Devocio Butler, I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce that. I like that first name, though. he's averaging 6.3 points per game. And then the last one, I believe it was Kamani Jackson. These are all role players. This Jackson is averaging 4.2 points and 3 rebounds a game. So they're not huge players, and they're not household names among the Mountain West. But when you take 3 of them away and you only have 2 scholarship reserves, that's a really big hit to a team, especially one that really doesn't play a very big rotation. They don't really switch a lot of players in and out, so it'll be tough moving forward.
It was, and apparently Coach Eustace didn't want to say anything about it, because when asked about this back on the 3rd, he stormed out when the question was asked about the players being suspended, or ineligible, mm-hmm. not suspended, but ineligible, which they played the other day, and they could play, I think the date, somebody mentioned it just on Twitter, January, their semester doesn't begin until the 14th, I want to say.
I think they have 1 game left that they'll have.
Somebody mentioned, sorry, I got a lot of mentions already from us promoting the show here. Where was it? January 17th, so that's a couple more games perhaps. So it's a week and a half. So okay. I guess the point is to, like, you shouldn't punish. Well, they're going to be punished. I guess let them play and coach as you want. But you would think at this point you'd want to maybe coach until coach like you're going to without those guys. I don't know. It's a tough situation to be in if they're still able to be around for like 3 more games in league play. I guess get the best seeding you can and then work with it the final, 13 conference games they have. Mm-hmm. All right. So
And that's going to be tough for them too, because I mean, they're very fortunate to have Clavel back. And remember, just a few months ago, there were questions about whether he'd even return mm-hmm. after he was given the medical hardship. So without him, I think this would easily be the worst team in the Mountain West. So they're very fortunate to have him back.
Yeah, and with those guys, they barely beat San Jose by 5 points. So that's a big thing to watch. Yep. Because they honestly, I think maybe I think they could have been a top 3 team in the conference, perhaps, with everybody healthy.
I think so, too.
And now they're mm-hmm. that moves one team out of the side to open up for, geez, whoever. But next game, we'll go through these pretty quick, then we'll do some bigger picture weekend stuff. You got Fresno. We thought Wyoming was pretty good. They lose to 15 to Fresno State. It doesn't help when you have 1 starter scoring double figures for Wyoming. And then on the opposite side, Fresno has 4 players in double figures who start.
That was my concern with with Wyoming is that when they're on, like they were against USC, and I know that they lost that game, but they played really, really well, and they played well against Cal earlier in the season too. They shoot so many threes that they're going to have nights where they go really cold, and they're, even though they shoot as many threes as anyone in the country, they're 12th in three-point frequency. They only shoot 31%. I believe that's the worst in the Mountain West. So against UNL, they didn't shoot the ball very well, 5 of 26 from deep, and it was about the same against Fresno. So
yeah,
if you keep shooting threes and you can't make them, that's going to be a problem.
They do have a pretty good bench. They had 30 points on the bench, but like this is a weird game. Look, I don't think I saw too much of this, if I recall, but there were too many free throws, 68 total free throws. I'm trying to see how Fresno won this by 15 points. I know they shot a bit better, but they made one less three-pointer and only four more free throws. I guess six more field goals overall, but it's not like Fresno played amazingly well. They only shot 45%, just as bad from three-point range, but I guess when you have your starters actually like Paul Watson go off for 25, well, I mean, just going to be a hit-or-miss team, I'm thinking, but that free throw, man, why do you have 68 free throws, man? Whew, come on.
Yeah, I don't know who's calling that game. And then the other thing about this Wyoming team is what they'll be able to do on the road. They're given a really nice home court advantage in Laramie. They obviously, you've seen what they've done years past, but it looks like they're 1-5 or 1-4 on the road this year. So that's definitely a concern. And I think we mentioned on the last podcast that this might be one of those teams that hovers around 500 because they can beat just about anyone at home, but really struggle on the road. And so far, they're 1-0 at home in conference play and 0-2 on the road.
Okay, that's a good point. Can we name right now? I was looking at the block discrepancy. Just last on this game, 11-1, Fresno to Wyoming. Can we give a Karachi Ito the Defensive Player of the Year award already?
Oh man, yeah, five blocks. Yeah, that'll definitely help. His return's huge for Fresno.
Yeah, five blocks, 12 points, six boards. Yeah, they out rebounded them as well. I just noticed. I'm looking at a few things like turnovers about the same, rebound Wyoming a bit then. A plus 10 block differential. Jeez.
Yeah, that's huge.
And Wyoming could be a team, like, they have some talent. Like, when they almost beat USC overtime, that was in Vegas. Like, I think when Wyoming gets to the conference tournament, they have a shot to maybe upset their team or so, because they have talent. It's just they're not at home, but then also playing a team that's not at home, also neutral. They still struggled, but I'm thinking they'll perform better than this in the tournament, I'm assuming.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they could beat San Diego State or maybe Boise State at home, but they could also lose to a team like San Jose State or UNLV as they did in the second game of the conference season.
All right, so let's go to the next game really quick. Boise versus UNLV. Boise right now is the best team in the league, playing the best. They're undefeated, 10-4 overall. Is it going to be a pillow fight between UNLV and San Jose State when they play?
Oh, man. I wonder if anyone's going to cover that on TV, but they'll have their work cut out for them.
I get part of it. So many players left, and then I get maybe who was Athlon and Sporting News put Rebels 11th out of 11,
yep,
or 10 out of 11, something like that. It's just they're a team where it's so many new players, new coach. It's and they're not playing well. They shot 29%. This is ridiculous. How does if you're a Division I guy, 62% from the line as a team?
As a team?
Yeah, as a team.
Ouch. That's really bad. And their defense, to start off the game, they were trailing 31-9 before they could even get their feet under them. So the game was already over before they even got started.
Like, I'm pretty sure they'll turn it around, but also Hutchinson, didn't he have like a career high before he got before he got pulled from the game?
Like, yeah, he finished at 28.
Didn't he have like 25 with like midway through the second period?
I think it was early or mid-second. I want to say it's about 14 minutes left. He was already in the 20s.
He played 35 minutes. It's probably a bit too much, but I get they rotated a bit more because UNLV had a better second half. But like, if he goes off, like, Boise's a weird team as well because they played Oregon close. They lose to, Charleston Southern. And this was this is a road game too, correct? This was in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Should I do my early prediction? Boise's going to win it's not a bold prediction by any means, but they're going to win the regular season. Is that okay to say now in January before MLK Day?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. And when they have The thing that we had mentioned, I think, in two podcasts back was if they can get Hutchison to get his 20-10 or 28-7 like he did in against UNLV on Wednesday, and they have a secondary score, if they have Austin or Duncan, and they had 16-10 against UNLV, they can have that leading score and then one other guy that can pour in, and usually it's Duncan because he can light up from deep, as we know.
Not last night.
They're a really dangerous team.
Yeah, he can't. That's the thing. Hutchinson will be fine. Like almost every game, I'm assuming he'll get his, maybe not 25 or maybe even 20, but like look at what he's averaging this year. He's just under 20. He's only had one game in single digits as to Oregon, lost where they nearly won as well. I think Nick Duncan, you're right, it's going to be one of those two guys, but he can't go 2 of 8. They were exactly. 8 of 24, and they're lucky to beat a team, not lucky to beat them, but play a better team, you're not winning by shooting that. UNLV's, unfortunately, just awful. Menzies, I know there's a non-conference schedule. Oh, they'll beef them up, be ready for league play. You would think that, but they'll probably, they might beat San Jose, maybe Colorado State losing those players. They might finish ninth, but they're going to be playing in the opening round in Vegas. And even though it's at their home court, I don't think they're going to win a game. And could they lose 20 games?
Let's see. They're at 8-8 right now.
Are there enough games left for them to lose 20?
It's 1-2 in conference. That means they have 15 games left. It's possible. They would probably finish, 10-20 and then have their Mountain West tournament game. It's possible. I think they can still win four or five games in conference. That would only be three or four more. And then, let's see, they have – who else do they have at home that's fairly bad?
They get San Jose at home.
And that's San Jose, Air Force, and maybe Utah State.
I don't think they could beat Utah State at home.
You don't think so?
No. I think Utah State is good enough.
Yeah, more would be a tough matchup.
Yeah. So, yeah, the home games, yeah, Air Force, San Jose, maybe CSU.
It's possible.
And they only play San Jose. I know they play them twice this year. So, and they go to Air Force. They go to San Jose. So maybe they could get a couple splits. But they'll be flirting with a minimum 15 losses, probably. I think they might get 20. It'll be close. But, and this could be, unfortunately, the worst UNLV team ever, record-wise, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But it. We know their situation. It's not favorable when half your team leaves and you bring in a coach and then Marvin Menzies comes in. It's only a week later, but it's just a mess. But all right, next game was in the blizzard out in Logan, Utah, where people were on ice skates trying to get to the arena. And there's people on. New Mexico's going to beat them. Class isn't back in session. There's a freaking blizzard going on. But the Spectrum, I watched a good portion of this game. The Spectrum showed up in Utah State. Outplayed the Lobos in the second half to get that 79-75 win, and finally Aggies got their first conference win.
Yeah, and we talked so much about New Mexico and the free throw line differential, and once again, I don't know how consistent it's been this season, but they shot fewer free throws. It was 28-20, and they lost. And they shot more free throws against New Mexico State, and they won that one. So. I mean, it's the same old for New Mexico. Utah State, I think you've probably seen them more than I have, but there's just a lot of reliance on Jalen Moore, and that rhetoric was switched a little bit with Kobe McAlwin pouring in 18 points against New Mexico. So that definitely helps out.
Yeah, McAlwin got to the line 16 times. Out of the 28, he had 16 attempts.
Made 12 of them. That's almost as much as New Mexico.
No kidding. Yeah, 15-20 for them. I was looking at the starter. I'm like, wait, S. Morrill? Is Stu Morrill back? Apparently there's a Sam Merrill on the team. I'm like, wait a minute. It took me half a second. And he, freshman, stepped up with 13 points. This game, like, the Lobos need, they don't have a third player. That's the problem. Tim Williams had an amazing game, 30 points. And then you had Elijah Brown with 17, but nobody else stepped up to do anything. Yeah, you had an aggregate 8 points, but they need a more consistent third score.
Because, yeah, exactly.
Like, he was 4-for-4, got 8 points, but only 3 rebounds, had a steal, too many turnovers. Well, they both had a lot, but like what? Every time New Mexico got close to this game, Aggies were pulling away. Like, there's about a – there's this was – not that it was never in doubt, but I'm trying to pull up the little – chart, like late in the game, like it was close throughout, like this is a game back and forth with Williams keeping them in, and then you'll see, okay, New Mexico has the lead 40-37 early in the second half, but that was, I believe, their last, no, it actually led, let me see here, sorry, this is great stuff, They went on a little bit of a run to go up 54-53 after being down like 51-40, whatever. They made a little run to come back in this game. This thing's tiny. But then Aggies pulled away, get up by 6 points, get up by 8 points, get up by 2 or 3 points. This is something where Aggies were just kind of, the last 5 minutes, they were not allowing New Mexico to get anything done, and they just outscored them and just slowly increased the lead to win by four. And it's at, I know the Spectrum's not what it was, but it's still a tough place to play.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think Jeff Grammer had some tweets that night from some players that were, of course, giving the Lobos some hard time. So it's definitely a tough place to play, and it got under Nick Duncan's skin a few days ago.
Well, there could be that.
As we mentioned.
That's exactly. So let me ask you this question here. We had a couple of Twitter questions rolled in. Let me pull up the one right here. About, so is Craig Neal, people are not too happy with him. Is he any chance going to get fired this year? Or how hot is his hot seat? Or is it hot?
Doesn't it feel like we have this conversation just about every year with him?
It's, what is this, year three? I want to say that's it.
Is it only year three? Because it feels like he's been on the hot seat every year. Well, it's tough to say because I don't really know if – obviously the standards are pretty high in New Mexico and the fans will let
– Well, here's why I think it's year four.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the reason why. Year one, they have a legitimate gripe about this because year one, 27-7 made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament – or. I think that's assuming the fill to 64, if that's correct. I forget how they technically mentioned the rounds. I forget. I think they actually changed it. But whatever, it's they got second in the conference. Next year, 2014-15, he had a losing record, eighth in the conference. Last year, 17-15. So since that first year, where, if I'm recall, I don't think there was a ton of transfers that 2013-2014 year. I know they lost some players, but I think most everybody stayed. Nobody went to UCLA outside of Bryce Alford. That's it. And so the past 3 years, you take that away, he is a 32-41 wins and good looking out 36 losses.
That's ouch.
That's not very
good.
Yeah,
that's not going to cut it.
And I would say, let's say this, I think if they get a losing record, he'll be gone, but I don't think they'll be a losing record this season. I think it'll be close. And there are high standards at New Mexico. Like, you've had good coaches there in the past, like with Alford and then, what's his name? Crap. There's people before him, I forget, that have done pretty good jobs. We don't need to relish on that or sound not look at it. But I think that's the only way, because there's no tournament. Actually, I will say this. If they don't make the NIT, he'll likely be gone. Because that means you're probably sitting at 17 wins. And that's comparable to last year. I don't recall if they're – because there's a lot of tournaments teams decline, like the CBI or CIT with the million tournaments. I would say if they don't make the NIT, 85% chance he is gone. And they'd have to buy out probably the final year. Do you think they can get to the NIT, or can they maybe somehow win the conference tournament? Because they have arguably the two best – like Williams and Brown could be considered the two best players in the league almost.
Yeah, at least heading into the preseason, they would be. And I think Brown has been a little bit of a disappointment, but I think that New Mexico could make the NIT. And as you said, anything could happen in the Mountain West Tournament. And when you have two players that have as much talent as Williams and Brown do, you always have a shot. There's a chance that Boise or Nevada could get cold in the tournament, and New Mexico with how they get to the line, as we always say, that could be huge.
And also, one thing with Brown, he had four fouls last night. He played only 15 minutes, or excuse me, the other night when they played the Aggies. 15 minutes, 17 points. So when he's out there, he's doing good things, but how is a guard getting that many fouls against them? What are you doing?
Yeah,
hand checking too much? I don't know. And he had too many fouls. Yeah, they had the same amount of Utah State, but when you have four fouls and play that few minutes, they had – this is an interesting stat. They each had 20 fouls. New Mexico had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only 6 players accrued fouls out of the 20. And they played 11 people. That's
Jeez.
That's kind of odd, because you had with 4, you had a Jalen Harris with 4, then you had Williams with 3, and then off the bench you had First Inger with 4, and then a couple other guys with fouls. That's not spreading it out, man. You got to do something better than that.
And if I remember correctly, this is a team that usually doesn't foul a whole lot. I don't have the number in front of me, but yeah. They usually win the foul battle.
And one last thing on the NIT. Part of it is now that the new rule is in place for a couple years now, if you win your regular season tournament or conference, you get in if you don't win the NCAA or your conference tournament. So that could be even to say New Mexico wins 18 or 19 games, even 20 games, but they don't win the regular season or conference tournament. They could be left out because I think last year weren't there 10, I want to say, regular season champs that earned the auto bid because they fell in their conference tournament. There was a high number last year, and that's also something to look at. If you don't go to the NIT, it's like, well, this bracket's weak. Well, they want to reward the regular season champs to go to a pretty good tournament. So that's something to look out for as well at the Lobos. If they have a pretty good year, they could even, honestly, they can go 20 wins and still be left out because if there's enough champions that don't win their tournament. So one other game let's discuss, probably the biggest game, Nevada Dunk Machine Wolfpack versus San Diego State.
Yeah, this was – it started off slow, but this ended up being a very, very entertaining game and lots of highlight dunks from Nevada, especially the Oliver Tipjan that if it wasn't number one in SportsCenter top 10, I don't know what was.
Then Caroline with the other follow-up dunk as well. That was pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These teams do not like their bench very much.
I just noticed that right now, yeah. Five reserves in the whole game?
Yeah, five reserves. Nevada had zero bench players. Oliver played the full 40 and one foul, I might add, as well. So that's pretty good. Not many free throws in this game. 4-6 for Aztecs. Attacked the basket. You could have won. Their starters had only two free throws. That's it.
That's not going to get it done.
We had a question about what's wrong with the San Diego State offense. Well, if you check their website, say we found their playbook.
Obviously, not.
That was good. True, but I pulled it from. It's a closed group, so I'm like, why am I going to give them credit? Because you can't join the group unless you're in the group. So I'm like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, offense crap. We missed a three. Play defense. Hemsley, don't let them drill. What the? Holtzel foul. Allen, hey, that's a positive. Get a steal. Or you got Zylan going for the loose ball. Trey Kell's not doing that great this year. Nobody's. It's like this team. The defense isn't even there either because I believe their defensive efficiency was like top 10 the past couple of years. We look at Ken Palm. I think I'll pull it up now, but I think they're about 45.
Around 45 this year, and they were, I think it was fourth, and then 14th, and then maybe seventh the 4 years prior. So this is a down season for San Diego State in terms of defense.
Yeah, they're 40th in adjusted defense in Ken Palm, and then I'll shield your ears or eyes because I'm going to look up their offensive efficiency real quick.
Oh, man.
151 offensive efficiency, which is adjusted for opponent. For opponent plus a point scored per 100 possessions. This isn't a team like in years past where they had J.J. O'Brien, who's in the D-League right now. Guys who could score when they need to, or Malcolm Thomas. He was Aztec, right? Is that correct?
That was a while ago, yeah.
When they lost to Florida Gulf Coast, I think that was him on the team. But they used to always have at least one guy. If they need points, they can go to that guy. They don't have that, and they don't have a defense. Well, okay, Hemsley scored 30 points, so you can't say it's not true as accurate. Took him 25 shots to get there.
it's not efficient. And when both of the guards are pointed in, Hemsley and Kel, this team can beat just about anyone, but The thing is, Hemsley and Kell are never on the same page, and we saw that against Nevada. Hemsley goes off for 30, hits all those threes at the end of the game, and Kell takes maybe, I don't know,
I got it right here.
Five-minute mark to even score a basket. He finished 1 of 12.
Those two combined 13 of 36, or 37, 13 of 37, 7 of 18 from three-point range. And that's mostly Hemsley doing the work, not Kell. Sorry.
Yeah.
And this is at home. And so this is also, we should point out, the first ever win versus Aztecs in league play. I want to say ever, but I couldn't look that up, so I don't want to be that guy where you said this was their first win ever. But I'm like, okay.
The first win over San Diego State, I think, in 18 years.
Yeah, in a long time. At least in Mountain West play also. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they played very often when Nevada was in the Big West or the WAC or whatever conference they're in before all the stuff changed the past 15 years. So we see Nevada lose one game. They beat San Diego State because they lost to Fresno, which is, I don't know what the deal with that is. Losing to Fresno by 1 point. Road game. So, we'll know a lot about this team because they play at New Mexico this weekend and then at Wyoming the next two games. Can they somehow win both of those?
I think so. And I like their chances against New Mexico. I was looking into the numbers of that game, and this is actually a really good matchup for Nevada. And we talk about how New Mexico gets to the line and their free throw frequency. Well, Nevada's almost nearly as good. They get to the line 17th in the country in free throw frequency, New Mexico's second. And they also don't allow teams to get to the line. They're fifth in free throw frequency allowed. So you might not see New Mexico take 20 free throws like they usually do. And then another key, New Mexico, they really need to defend the perimeter. We saw Nevada, I don't know how many threes they made. They took a ton of threes against San Diego State.
They were only 9 of 28.
Okay, so it wasn't a great shooting night, but they did have some clutch threes. They're 37th in the nation in three-point percentage, and New Mexico's really poor at stopping the three. So I think this game really favors Nevada, even though it will be in Albuquerque.
Yeah, and all again, like we said, Lobo, we're just going to go forward to those next games. Lobos need a third score. I thought it'd be Logwood, but that hasn't been the case. They need, I don't know, Jalen Harris to do something. They need somebody, a third player, to score. I don't know. That's just, you don't need three guys in double figures, but you want to. Okay, let's put it this way. You want to have one guy after Williams and Brown to get to 10 points, whether it's Harris, Logwood, or Agate there. Is Agate correct? It's not aged, is it?
A Jet, I think.
Farther off, a Jet.
Yeah.
Jeez, okay. Yeah, that's me here. yeah, it makes sense. The first name's Obji. But they just need a third person. I don't care who it is, but it has to be one of the starters. Because unless they're all going to score 8 points each or 9 points each outside those two guys, they need a third score, a consistent third score. And I don't know if they really have that. So, and
it'll get tougher for New Mexico, too, because they're dealing with some injuries. I know that Jordan Hunter was hurt in their last game against Utah State. He's not the greatest scorer in the world, but he's a decent shooter and provides some to the Lobos offense, and he's out now. So it's just another dent in the New Mexico offense. He's shooting 41% from deep, so that'll make it difficult.
One thing we should also mention with the Aztecs, they're still missing. Malik Pope is still out.
Mm-hmm.
So that I thought he'd been back by now because he had a week off because he didn't play out in Hawaii, and he's only played 7 games. He's missed, the past five now, I want to say? Past four games. He played Southern Miss, hasn't played since that game. He did play one game in Hawaii, so I haven't seen anything of how severe his injury is. I know he had the injury early in the year where he missed a Gonzaga game and San Diego game, but if they get him back, they'll obviously put them back in the running, but they can't play without him for much longer and get, say, like a lower seed in the conference tournament, because March will get here before we know it. There's only 6 weeks or 7 weeks of games, essentially. I guess eight. There's one game in March, the first game or two. But there's, if you think about it, there's not every game's critical at this point. You're in league play, and we'll be in February before you know it. Then, oh crap, we're February. We're sitting at 4-4 in league play, because if you look who San Diego State has coming up, and I don't know how many games he's going to be out, but oh crap, I don't have the schedule. What happened here? I was on a roll. What? Come on. here we go. Okay. Here's the thing. They'll be fine. Like, they got San Jose, they'll win this weekend. They host Utah State. Maybe. Then they get a little bit of a break. Yes, you go to UNLV, Air Force, and CSU. And then they host Wyoming, which, depending on how the road play it could increases or decreases. The schedule's not that bad. Boise before, I apologize. Scroll down. So they got Boise, which probably not going to win this weekend. Is that fair to say?
I think so.
Probably. So if they lose that, they could beat San Jose at home. They can beat Utah State at home. They could beat at UNLV versus Air Force, CSU at home, Wyoming at home. They might only lose that Boise game and be getting hot. So, but they still want Pope back sooner than later, just because after that stretch, they play multiple road games at Utah State, at Fresno, stuff like that, where it's a bit more tricky.
Yeah, it won't play out this way, but KenPom has their score predictions. They have San Diego State losing to Boise State, which is understandable this weekend. And then they don't have San Diego State losing another game until the last game of the season at New Mexico. So they could very well go on a tear like they did last year.
Is that under the paid subscription of Ken Palm?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You basically show off the $20.
Yeah.
I keep debating. I'm like, I see it all the time. I'm like, oh, it's only $20 for a year. I signed up for this college football site, is it Chris Dufresne? He used to be the LA Times and some other guys. It's $15 a year, and I barely read it after the first 2 months. So maybe I should take advantage of this.
Yeah, well, I'm on this 24/7, so seeing what all the score projections are.
I should do that. It's $20. Okay, we'll move on. So let's go more towards Saturday here. Schedule here. Like we said, we got San Diego State at Boise State. Just real quick, that's a late tip. 9 p.m. Mountain Time. It's on ESPNU, so definitely tune in. There's no football anymore. Football's over. NFL playoffs will be over at that point. I get to succumb and force myself to watch the Texans and Raiders between two terrible quarterbacks.
Yeah, ouch. That's not going to be pretty. That's not going to be a pretty game at all.
Even with the starter back, Brock Osweiler, I'm like, oh, geez. I always, anytime I see Derek Carr have a good game, I'm like, I just want to punch something that you should have taken him. But regardless, move on. Okay. Air Force, CSU, I don't care about that game, do you?
No, not really.
Sorry, guys. Air Force is 0-3 on the road, so they're going to CSU. One of the final games for those three guys who will be out soon. But Rams will win. Fresno at San Jose. Fresno should win. San Jose State has been better. They've been improving, but Fresno's going to become one of those sneaky teams because who they beat the other day? They beat Nevada. That's right, by 1 point.
Yes.
So we don't care about that game. That's sorry, guys. That's 3 p.m. 2 p.m. Pacific out there. Go to the game if you can. Get out of the cold because it's supposed to be cold all weekend everywhere. And I would say, and then these next three games, you got to figure out how to watch. UNLV at Utah State. That's a 4 p.m. tip in Logan. If I had not things to do or work that night, I might drive to that game. But, well, I guess it is crappy UNLV, so do we care too much?
Yeah, Utah State should be able to protect home in that one. We would hope.
Because Utah State has been a little bit they're only 7-7, so it's not like a for sure guarantee victory. I want to see them put another game together after winning what they did against New Mexico. Because Jalen Moore is going to be a first-team all-conference player. He's going to go to the NBA next year. He's a guy where I want to have him be the guy every single game. And Utah State can't have these lapses against bad teams.
Exactly. And we saw what McElwain did in the last game. So if they can get another solid score, and they're not going to have another guard that goes 20 to 30 points a night. But as we said, if they can get a second score, then they should be in okay shape.
And the next two games are huge. They're both, like I said, 9 p.m. Mountain Time. Aztecs at Boise State. If Pope, I will look to see if Pope's going to be back. I don't know if he is. I still looked before him, but I kind of forgot he was out. But if Pope's in the game, I could see this being – this is always going to be a good game. And you agree, like, you'll probably agree with me, but it depends on Boise State. They're sometimes a bit of a chucker of a team. So if they go cold from three-point range, Aztecs have a very good chance to win, despite them not having a road victory and Boise undefeated at home.
Yeah, exactly. And remember last year when – Boise State, it looked like there might have been this changing of the guard as we kind of see with San Diego State right now. But Boise State had won 10 games in a row. They were hosting San Diego State. It was on national TV. And they just laid an egg, and they didn't hit a three until maybe 30 seconds left. Only scored maybe 50, 52 points. So they can't go 1-17 again and expect San Diego State to fall to the Broncos.
Boise should take care of this game. I'm looking at it last year really quick. But they did rebound nice to beat them on the road, which is kind of weird last year.
Yeah, that game was very strange, that comeback win.
And even though it was 56-53, I got it right here. I got to grab this since we're talking about it. 1-17 from three-point range. Here's the reason where Aztecs still crush. They only made 3 three-pointers last year in this game to Boise's 1. And that was, of course, Nick Duncan. And then Boise shot 31%, Aztecs 40%.
It shouldn't be this ugly this year, right? Could it be?
Aztecs defense isn't as good. So
true.
I think Boise should take advantage and win this game. Again, Pope is an issue for me if he's going to be back or not, and I don't know. Even if he's back, it's going to be his first game back in nearly 2 weeks. So how much is he going to play? Are they going to force him back in there? Is he going to see 30 minutes or whatever his normal playing time should be or would be? It's probably going to be asking a bit too much for, say, hey, Pope, go out there and win this game for us.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be as low scoring as it was last year. And it's not often you see a game where the teams go 4 of 31 from deep. So, and these aren't the best offenses in the world, but if Boise can get Hutchison going and get Duncan going a little bit, they should be all right.
All right, so one last game really quick. Nevada and New Mexico. Oh, man. Nevada hasn't gone on the road very much. This is at not Wise Pies Arena, the Pit. apparently, there's a big story about the Wise that company making their second payment to the Lobos, which I don't know if that's a good return on investment, but whatever.
What was it? Was it just the Pit previously?
Forever, just the Pit. Yeah.
Wow.
Now it's like Wise Pies Arena at the Pit, or the Pit's Wise, something weird that you only the only time you'll hear it is when you're coming back from commercial break or the lead into the game on TV under the little graphics.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, no, it's the Pit. Come on. Sorry, Wise Pies. But so this game, 9:15 local time, late tip. Jeez, mountain time, and that's a home game. Both of these games are late, so hang out if you're watching this game. It's kind of just do your thing. But I think New Mexico is going to win this game because they're at home. They're undefeated. And Nevada is – they already lost to Fresno on the road. And so that doesn't – and it's not like going to Save Mart Arena is a tough place to play.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I like New Mexico in this game. I feel like they have some momentum from beating San Diego State, and they have some good energy going, and I think they match up fairly well against New Mexico.
You mean Nevada's going to win, you say?
Yeah, I think Nevada
will. Oh, you said New Mexico. I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't beat Utah, San Diego State?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think Nevada will win.
I think this is a good matchup because Oliver, Williams, Brown, like these are some – this will be one of the more games where like you want to see a lot of big plays or like throwdowns or drive, attacking the basket type of plays. This is one. This is a game you want to watch and see because there could be multiple – not just putbacks. There could be maybe some alley-oops or breakaway stuff. These teams are very athletic. So what does KenPom say? Does he say a lot of points in this matchup, I'm assuming?
77-76, and they actually have New Mexico winning this game.
At home, that makes sense. I looked up the line. There's no line on this game over at Vegas Insider. Neither was there one for Aztecs Broncos, but I think the free throw thing you mentioned before could be a pretty big deal, depending, because look at the, I don't know who's reffing the game because you don't know until like right before, but there was the one game where was it six free throws, and then one game had 70 or 37 or so, whatever ridiculous amount. I think it was 60 something, but that could be a big deal as well, because if there's 10 free throws per team or 35,
yeah, that could be the difference.
So I think Nevada could take care. I think they will, but I got to go with what KenPom toss up. But I'll make a pick. I'll say New Mexico wins because they're so good at home. There we go. I'll
okay. That. All right.
So let's go to a little bit of bracket stuff really quick, because Chris D'Albertine of bloggingthebracket.com, or it's on SB Nation. It's on our site as well, the first bracket. He basically at this point, because I talked to him recently, if your team is one bid league, whatever he does is consistent bracket, you will be – your selection will be the leading team in the conference. So right now with Mountain West projected to be one team, that's Boise State, because they're leading the conference right now. And it's probably going to stay that way. So whoever is in first place will get his bid, whatever he does. I think he's going to start doing weekly going forward, which makes sense in January. So it could be whoever's first place in the Mountain West is going to be in there. And I think Boise State's playing the best right now. Maybe Nevada. Well, Nevada lost to Fresno, but Boise's in first place, and if I were to say right now, they're sitting at 12 seed playing Creighton. But even if Boise State wasn't in the lead, say there was Boise 3-0 and Nevada 3-0, I still might lean Boise State.
Yeah, you could go either way. Both teams have a legitimate shot at winning the regular season tournament. I think that you still can't rule out Nevada from an at-large if they really go on a tear here. I looked at some of the teams that are near the bubble right now, and wasn't too impressed with what they accomplished in non-conference play. And obviously that'll change when you have teams in the Big 12. And we always mention the Pac-12 playing a bunch of teams on the road and not winning those games, but because it boosts the RPI. But I think if Nevada wins the regular season tournament still, even with that loss to Fresno State, and another team wins the Mountain West tournament, say at Boise or San Diego State or New Mexico, it's possible that it could be a two-bid league. And so many pieces have to fall in place for that to happen, but I don't think it's impossible.
Yeah, because right now, D'Albertine has Nevada as the eighth team out, so they're in the discussion. And their RPI is high enough, because they are, what are they, KenPom? They still top 30 team?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I don't have it. Whatever, I'll look later. I don't have it separate. I still have it listed as the shielding your eyes from Nevada's offensive efficiency. No, they're actually 80 in KenPom. That's surprising. Now that they're higher.
What's that?
80? Am I looking at that right? Are they 80th?
I see 48 on Warren Nolan right now.
Maybe. Okay, whatever. Yeah. I'm probably sorting by some random thing that's not KenPom. But RPI, they're 48, you said?
Yeah, 48 on this one.
Okay. It's not going to be top 50, even because nobody else is even close. But Nevada, they have a chance to be in there. Because one thing I noticed, too, I was talking with Chris last week. He didn't have his bracket out yet, but he mentioned, like, Joe Lunardi. Out of all the at-large bids, there was only three teams outside of a power conference. And I'm assuming that the cut line for that is the Big East, maybe the American. I forget exactly what he said, but it's pretty disheartening to see the amount of at-large teams not coming from another conference. Like, you had St. Mary's, and I think, I forget who else he had, maybe somebody from, not even Missouri Valley, but maybe it's Rhode Island. I don't recall who it was, but only three teams outside of a big conference.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the story the last few years, or even longer than that, is the mid-major teams that haven't proven themselves. So teams that aren't Gonzaga or I guess even St. Mary's fits the situation here, or Wichita State too. Yeah,
maybe
that. If you're not one of those teams that consistently makes the tournament, you have to really prove yourself out of conference. And that's the main thing that's holding Nevada back, is they don't have that signature win. They don't have any super bad losses. Obviously, Iona on a neutral site isn't great, and Fresno State on the road isn't much to be proud about. But I can't rule them out yet.
No, you can't, because part of it that makes me mad. We'll discuss a million times, but top 50 wins are overrated in my opinion. That it's kind of like the cutoff point, because what's the difference between 45 and 65?
You know what I mean? Exactly.
Very, very. If they're going to do any cutoff, I think like 65 or 75 is a better to get a bigger picture. Because if you're not playing top 75 teams, that's more of an issue of you scheduling week out of If you can't be a top 75 team, or you're not beating top 75 teams, that you could see that more of a combination where it's not just your conference, because there's bad conferences like we go to the WAC, like Grand Canyon, they're not eligible. They're a pretty good team. Or even Utah Valley, after they beat BYU, they had a pretty, their RPI was like 30 or 40. We knew that would sink like crazy, but conference play, you gotta expand a little bit, because if you're not in a good league, it's going to crush you. Like if Grand Canyon were eligible and they won, what did they win last year? 25 games or something ridiculous.
I think it was 27.
27 games. Not, like,
but that's including postseason.
Yeah, but okay. So they weren't even in the WAC tournament. So I think of maybe 24, 25.
Okay.
You're sitting at 25 and 5, and you got to take into consideration your conference a little bit. So that's why I think 75 is a better cutoff. Would that make, I don't know, just spitting stuff here?
Yeah, 75 makes sense. I've never been a huge fan of top 50 wins either, because
you can't get
it clumps it all together. So it almost, and I know you'll see on the resume, if you beat a team like Kansas, it'll obviously show up, or Kentucky, but you're pretty much waiting, beating, say you beat a number one team on the road, or you beat a number 50 team at home. It's pretty much the same weight. So I don't really get that much.
Well, look at my team. I go for University of Utah. They played ridiculously poor schedules the past couple of years in basketball.
Yeah.
They've upped it a little bit here and there, but last year in the Pac-12, if I recall, 10 of the 12 teams had a top 100 RPI. And so, like, they could schedule terrible non-conference, play low-level Division I schools. Division II don't count, but they still look bad. Like, playing low-level teams. But once you get to league play, you're playing Arizona, you're playing Oregon, you're playing UCLA. USC is usually pretty good. You'll automatically shoot up right now. Because right now, this will change quite a bit. University of Utah RPI, 133. They're probably going to fit, and they've played seven teams 200 or worse already.
Yeah, I see that their best, it looks like their best non-conference win was at home against Utah Valley.
And that
218th
was
218th in KenPom. Yeah.
Yeah, they that Utah, it could be, because I'm trying to find where's, oh, they don't have opponent RPI here, but oh yeah, they do. 202. That's their best win. No, they have a 51-100 win. Who's that here? Hold on.
That's Colorado, so
league play. Oh, that's right. League play. I was looking at it. They beat it by 16. That's not bad, but they get my point. By the time the season ends, Utah will probably be, even if they finish eighth in the Pac-12, probably will have a top 100 RPI without even trying.
Yeah.
Maybe top
80. Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, when is your bracket? You do a bracket a little bit. When are you doing your next bracket so people can definitely look out for that?
Yeah, so I'll start doing it more frequently now that we're in January. So probably either bi-weekly until maybe February, and then weekly, and then leading up to March, it'll be every few days or so. So by next week, I should have my first bracket out. And I agree with what Dauberteam and Lunardi are saying with Boise State on the 12 or 13 line. And I don't think that would be the end of the world either, because we know the history with 12 seeds. There's just something about the 12 seeds that seem to match up well against the fives. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and one last quick thing to bracket. I'll go to, because your bracket is part of Bracket Matrix, and they update that. That's a good website to check out, bracketmatrix.com. It goes through, it depends how many. They flush them out during the year, but there's a good 30 brackets in there that are consistently. A few get out here and there. Like there's been a few that haven't been updated since the new year. But again, first week of January. Right now, they still have Taze's six was recorded, so nobody's updated today. But every Mountain West game has been updated for about a third of these brackets. They still have Nevada in the field. They have Nevada as about a 12 seed right now. They're in 21 of the 39 brackets, and they're averaging 12.19 overall. And then you go to Boise, they are in 15 at a 12.6. So the highest they have is about a 10 for either school. So it's going to be Boise. A couple have Wyoming, which I don't know why. That's an old one. That's
really strange.
January 2nd. Yeah. So there's always outliers in these brackets. And these aren't no-name brackets. Some are, you haven't heard of, but you see Joe Lunardi, ESPN. You'll see CBS from Jerry Palm. Your bracket's been around for a while. And they rate the graph. Don't they rank kind of the consistent brackets or mention on their site who's good and who's not good or who's more consistent or something?
Yeah, they it's pooled in how many years you've been that's a part of the matrix. So I only started last December, but it shows if you're above average or if you're top percentile of how many years you've been. So you have some guys that have been there for over 7 years, some that have been there for 5 and 3. So
yeah, they mention here like the Bracket Project, and they go to like tier one is the guys you've heard of, like Sports Illustrated, ESPN, CBS, the Bracketville guys, a lot of other guys too that haven't necessarily heard of, but probably if you go to it, you know who they are. Tier two guys who are like above average brackets, and they even mention like below average brackets. If your bracket's not very good, part of it is how long you've been around, and part of it is like tier five new this year. So you're probably, weren't you in tier five last year, I want to say?
Yeah, I'm in two tier now.
Ooh, what is your actual thing? What's your name on here? What is it listed as?
Heat Check CBB.
Heat Check? Oh, where's that?
Yeah.
Come on, Heat. Oh, there it is. All right. Formerly something else. Okay.
Yeah. I changed it because someone else had a very... I was Madness 365, and there was another guy with March Madness 365, so I thought of changing up a little bit.
Good plan. Good work. And then, like, look at new brackets. Like, the guys from Sports on Earth, they're a pretty reputable website. They're tier five because they're new, and so... If you want to see a bracket, like what's up with this bracket here, you can click on their name, then go to the actual page. It's the blog. Just click on the blog link at the top. And so, like, why is that guy have Wyoming ranked here? Okay, mm-hmm. Like, okay, click on the bracket, then go to the blog. I'm like, oh, he's a new guy, or he's underperformed, or it's just an old bracket. So
yeah, and another thing to note is that the brackets are all different. You have, and there's two main ways to even interpret a bracket. You could have it as, if the season ended right now, January 6th, which teams would be in? And then you could also have the brackets that are predictive in a way,
okay,
based on what we have throughout the season, the first 2-3 months of the season, what we can expect the rest of the year. So one might expect San Diego State to figure it out and pull through and get a 12 or 13 seed. So there are different ways to interpret it. And then there are other brackets. I know that Haslam Metro, that's under the tier four bracket. This is fairly new. There are other brackets that are just based off of metric systems. I kind of use it a little bit of that, but just based off data. So they'll have different ranking systems, kind of like how KenPom does it with efficiencies. And then they'll just stick those efficiencies, make 68 teams out of it, and then just post the bracket. So it might end up with something weird. I saw Purdue has a very low seed. A few weeks ago, you might see Wyoming in there. So there's obviously a lot of variation, but that's kind of the point of Bracket Matrix, is to get all these brackets together, 30, 40, 50, put it all into one spreadsheet and see what the average is.
Yeah, it's a good thing, because like Daugherty mentioned, if you're a one-bid league, he even said point blank, I'm taking whoever's leading the conference at that point, which makes sense as well. So it is a good mix. I've used this for who knows how many years it's been around, for at least 5 years for me minimum probably. So I would check it out like probably now once a week, but once it gets to March, like get the F5 button going on your computer every time, F5.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's almost multiple times a day it's updated.
Yeah, and so this whoever was behind this, the last update, it even gives the time. Last update was January 5th, 9:45 p.m. I don't know if that's local time for me or them, but Thursday evening. So check that out.
Pacific time. The guy's located in California, so that's Pacific time.
I know. Yeah, just depending on what it says there. But so check that out a lot. There'll be more. There could be more brackets. There's only 39. I believe in the past there's been like maybe 60 plus.
Yeah, as the season progresses, and you have guys like me or others that I don't really like to post brackets besides preseason before Christmas, because you have teams that haven't even played on the road yet, or teams that haven't played anyone
BYU
worth noting.
Cougars.
So. Yeah, exactly.
And no true road games until last week. So your bracket's not amongst the ones right now, I'm probably guessing then.
Yes, yeah. Okay. But I'll have one within the next few days.
Okay. So yeah, so check that out. Go to heatcheckcbb.com. You have a few other updates there periodically, it looks like. Some tweet stuff. So that's our basketball show today. I think we're a bit more concise this time. Kept it together.
Yeah, definitely.
And assuming scheduling, sickness, or work schedules convene, we'll come back next week for next Thursday. So if you ever have any questions, tweet us, Mountain West, MWC Connections, our Twitter handle, right? Why am I spacing on that? Yes, MWC.
Yep.
I was going to give the email like last time. Or probably the better person is send it to you at Bedker_Eli and spell that for people, because I don't have that in front of me.
BOETTGER_ELI.
Okay. Send those questions to him, because he's not just Mountain West. He'll do Washington, Purdue, Pac-12 stuff as well. So look out for that as well. It's basketball season here. We'll obviously keep doing everything else. But, yeah, check us out, MWCConnection.com. Facebook, find us there. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, when I remember to upload there. So probably go to a subscribe-based feed and not SoundCloud, because – it doesn't automatically upload, so I know there's a few people clinging to that one. So I better post this one there so they hear this. But
I didn't know SoundCloud didn't have subscription.
Well, what it is, a little just inside. We moved to Blog Talk Radio, and they don't send the feed to. That's why we're not in Google Play, because like Matt says, we get burrito money for this a little bit, so we get a few bucks here and there. And if we go to Google Play, it doesn't count as, say, you, me, and your friend download it. It only counts as one listen. We won't get three. And so with SoundCloud, it's kind of the same thing. And there are some ads within here. So if you hear ad, listen or hit your 30-second skip button. That's why they're there, to give us a couple of bucks to, I don't know. What are you going to get with your $12? You can buy a burrito like everybody else?
Yeah, so I'll buy some expensive on-campus food between my classes.
There you go. Go to the cafeteria and get that.
Just enough to get a burger on campus.
There you go. Get something like that. But so that's why we're not on SoundCloud very often, because it doesn't automatically go there, and it didn't help us out. But that's what helped us out, is subscribing. Tell your friends. If you like basketball and you can tolerate me but really love Eli, let us know, because, like I said, he's the brains behind the operation for hoops. Because he does.
I don't know about that.
Look, let's be honest. You focus more on hoops than I do. Let's put it that way. I do. I know what's going on. I watch enough games. But honestly, if I had a choice, I would probably go only football. But I know that's not what people want. So,
I don't know anything about Mountain West football. So we make it work.
There we go. Exactly. Yeah. Perfect. So with that, we will wrap up the show. Again, one more time, MWCConnection.com. We will be back. Look for this typically Thursday afternoon going forward. We're one day late, but Lane snowpocalypse on the West Coast. Because of that, I'm going to go with that. So, yeah, we'll see you guys next time. And like I end every show, we are biased against your team.